Watching online, I'm Jenna Belk, and with me today I have Eric Wells and Don Baker.
Hey, good to be here.
We just want to start off with the announcement, or the thing that I have to say is that we're a nonprofit organization, a 501c3, and we are dedicated to the promotion of positive atheism and the separation of religion from government. So Eric Wells here is a director of
The support groups for
Recovering from Religion. And so Recovering from Religion is an organization that we recommend a lot to people who just came out of religion and are freaking out and have no idea what to do. And so we send them to you.
And we really are grateful for it, too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell us a little about what you
Absolutely.
Do and how it works? And
yeah. Recovering from Religion has been around for 10 years now. And we're really all about peer support. So we have a chat line, a hotline, which the number might pop up underneath here sometime. And then we also folks can come to the website, recoveringfromreligion.org, and tap on the green chat bubble at the bottom and talk live or chat live online with some trained folks who will be able to listen and have empathy. And it's not about debate. It's about addressing your concern. Like, hey, I have my doubts, but I'm in a religious family and I'm really concerned about expressing this to them because they might kick me out or something like
that.
Or even the pain and trauma that comes with the doubts. You've identified as a religious person for so long, and then you no longer have that identity when it's stripped away from you, when you no longer believe.
Right.
So we have the hotline and the chat line, and then across the nation and soon to be across the world, we have support groups. And so these are in real person live or support groups, like 5 to 10 to 15 people who get together, and a support group leader will sort of host the meeting. And it's a safe place for people to vent and get out their frustrations and
awesome.
Their concerns and their doubts. So it's not necessarily for someone who has already left the religion, but it's also for people who are doubting.
Right.
Want to have a safe space to talk about those doubts that they have.
So, Eric, how is that like or dislike group therapy?
Group therapy would be more with trained counselors and therapists.
Mm-hmm.
These are not those folks. These are peer support. So
okay.
It's a group.
I'm sorry, I'm getting the sense that it's kind of like AA, but without the alcohol stuff.
Yeah, and without the higher power.
Right,
stuff.
Right, obviously.
Yeah, it's a lot like AA, and it's really providing a safe space to talk where you wouldn't normally be able to talk if you have an issue with family or a community or something like that.
Okay.
Nice.
And there's also the Secular Therapy Project that spin-off from Recovering from Religion. And these are trained professionals. So it's kind of different levels. Like if you need something now, I need to talk about this now, go to the website, call them up or chat online. Or once a month, if there's a support group near you, you can visit in a support group. But if you really need some professional help, which I strongly encourage to pursue, the Secular Therapy Project is the next step. These are screened professionals who are trained counselors, trained therapists, working from evidence-based therapies and come at the practice without a religious bias at all. So
that's so great. So the people who are on the phones are volunteers. They're not
yes.
licensed therapists. So
no.
You're not going to get a therapy session.
No, but they are trained through the Recovering from Religion on how to listen and converse. And also there are anonymity. Boy, that's a fun word to say. Anonymity is very key in things like this. And so we never really ask for a person's full name or
right.
What have you. But oftentimes if I'm on the phone with someone who is struggling, then there most likely will be somebody else listening in. And after that phone call is over, I will get some feedback as a volunteer, like, hey, you did great here. Or, hey, you know, maybe you could have mentioned this.
Oh,
this
awesome. So it's a little bit of coaching.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So I'm guessing you provide a bunch of resources and...
Yes. In fact, in the support group leaders and the hotline and chat folks are well-versed in the resources tab on our recoveringfromreligion.org. And it's a well-curated encyclopedia of resources or source for resources for people coming out of Jehovah's Witnesses, people who have doubts or ex-Muslims, ex-Baptists, or a lot of resources for folks, not only just for the U.S., but for across the world as well. So, as support group leaders and as support group, and then the hotline and chat line folks, if we hear that there is a need for one of those resources, we're able to direct them to it. But obviously, anyone who goes to the recoveringfromreligion.org website can take a look at that tab and look around, go down directly to, you know, their background, like Jehovah's Witness, and see some of the resources that are available for them.
Okay.
Is it easy to volunteer?
Yeah. Recoveringfromreligion.org/volunteer go through the onboarding process. There's an interview process that's a part of the onboarding process.
Helpful.
There's training. There's agreement to the policy and procedures that we've got. And then once that's all gone through, then the volunteers hand it off to the appropriate director. If the volunteer is wanting to do a support group, then they talk with me.
Cool.
And then if they want to do the chat line or hotline, they'll talk to Todd, who's the director for that part of RFR.
Cool.
One of the phrases I hear often when your group comes up is this idea of religious trauma.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could tell us what that is and expand a little bit on why it's important.
For some people who have come out of religion, or who have been raised in religion all of their life, and they suddenly come out of it, their whole foundation, their worldview, the foundation of the worldview is pulled out from under them. And it's very similar to kind of a post-traumatic, PTSD for folks who are coming out of it. And so right now, a lot of counselors, a lot of therapists are considering the religious trauma to be an actual thing and looking to see how best to work with it and diagnose it and help these folks. Mm-hmm. April 24th and 26th, there's a conference in Vancouver, Canada. Is there another Vancouver somewhere? Vancouver, Canada.
I think there's a Vancouver. Well,
yeah. I'm sure there's a small town somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. Like, I'm in Vancouver. In Vancouver, Canada, to kind of suss this out and have talks and between various professionals. And RFR is going to be a big, big part of that convention.
But it's more than just coming out, right? It's dealing with some of the bad ideas that have been put into your head, right?
Yeah. When we coming out of religion, obviously you have been given all of these false worldviews and mythical beliefs, and then putting those up against reality and testing those in reality can be rather jarring. I think that's what you were referring to.
Yeah. So basically, if you need help, I mean, we have a lot of atheists and theists both that call this show, and usually we help the theists try to work through their thinking, and then we try to help the atheist with some kind of issue that they're having that has to do with atheism. But if you have a serious problem and you really need help now, call them. Don't wait for the show. Don't call the show. Call them.
Call them. Go to the website, and you can chat online with them. And there's maps to support groups all over the nation. You could find one that's near you.
Cool. So, yeah. So, that being said, we've got a bunch of callers and some really interesting topics here. Did you have any more questions?
Nope, I'm good.
And did you have anything else?
I'm good.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and start with Jason. Jason, you are on air, and it says that you would like to know the definition of atheism. Do you want to start with that, or do you want to start with your demonstration of the existence of God?
I guess, definition. I define an atheist as someone who has a lack of a belief in a God that has a physical existence.
Well, you know, no, like, I wouldn't like add that on. I would just stop there. Just lack of a belief of a God, and then that's all that atheism is. There's other terms that people can come up with to define more details, but the atheism is just, I don't believe in God, or I don't have a belief.
That would be like any type of God. Like, you wouldn't place any limits on any type of God?
Any kind of supernatural.
Well, you know, some people believe the sun is a God, or... You know, they worship a totem, and we would agree that those things exist, mm-hmm. but maybe they're not worth being worshipped. Usually we're talking about a supernatural thing that we're not believing in.
So it says that you have a question mark here. Did you not know what you think yet?
Well, I mean, I don't believe in a physical God that exists in our physical reality.
Okay.
So, I mean...
What kind of God do you believe in?
I believe in that abstract gods exist, you know, gods that are have an abstract existence and an abstract reality.
Why?
I don't know what that means.
Sounds like a Picasso painting.
When I think of abstract, I think of a concept, you know, and mm-hmm. we agree that God concepts exist in people's heads, and mm-hmm. we wouldn't debate that.
Okay, but I mean, wouldn't that be, kind of the way they, like math exists, math is abstract, like... Wouldn't God existing in the imagination of people be an abstract existence?
That would be
I mean, why are we going to such extremes to define? It feels to me like we're trying to find some way to define a God, and that's the best way that we can come up with. Does that sound relatable at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's only one that I was thinking about what gods could be demonstrated, and the only gods that could be demonstrated to have an existence are the gods and the abstract gods that exist in people's imagination.
Sure, but you couldn't pray to it to get anything. You know, it doesn't affect the real world. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't do any work for us.
Well, so if your God is abstract, then it's not the Christian God, is it?
No, just whatever the person believes in at that time. I mean, people's imagination can have effect on them, which can have effect on reality.
But what does that have to do with God? You
know, yeah.
Like, it has an effect on their actions, not necessarily reality. Like, if I think of a pink elephant, it's not going to pop up somewhere. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I think of a pink elephant and I get into genetic engineering and I do some crazy Frankenstein stuff, I'm sure I could create a pink elephant.
But we can actually picture a pink elephant. Yeah. Like, we don't have a God to even conceptualize.
But
like,
that doesn't mean the pink elephant is tangible.
Right.
It still is just, in my opinion, I think the science might back this up, is that, or it will back this up, is that it's just a collection of chemical reactions inside the head, inside the little soup between my ears.
And there's another problem, too. And we've found this over the years with our calls with theists, is that people believe different things. Even mm-hmm. though they call it God, they call it the God or mm-hmm. a God. They're all sort of different. And, you know, that's not very useful to us. I mean, if I talk about the sky or a pink elephant, we all know really what that is.
Well, does your God have a purpose?
No. I was just saying, like, you know, there are people that believe in a God that exists only in their imagination. And I'm like, well wouldn't that be an example of a type of God existing someplace, somewhere?
Maybe. I mean, in their heads, it exists in their heads, and because they're imagining it. But like he said, the pink elephant, I mean, you can imagine things. What does that have to do with what you believe?
And it doesn't necessarily, thinking about it, doesn't give it supernatural power. It doesn't mean that it exists outside of the meat between your ears.
Exactly.
Yeah, but going back to the definition of what an atheist is, mm-hmm. a lack of belief in a god or gods. I mean, you didn't add like supernatural god or abstract god or what. It was just god and spirit. That was it. There was nothing added on.
Maybe it's a little bit of a sloppy definition, but maybe it's a problem that the word God doesn't seem to have a referent.
Well, in general, if you're talking to a person on this planet, God means something that has some kind of purpose and it has some kind of control over the
sentience,
universe.
Right.
Right. And so that's usually the God that we're talking about. Now, there are all kinds of people who have come up with different definitions of God, but if you have your own personal definition of God, then we need to talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I was talking about is like an abstract God. But I mean, I couldn't understand. But I was trying to, like, how do you separate abstract God from the definition itself? I think maybe we should have a better definition of atheist.
Possibly, but you know, if it's overly complex, then it, you know, doesn't roll off the tongue.
You come up with one.
Open to suggestions.
It can change.
Well, I think the only thing that really matters, that from my experience, that has an effect on our physical reality, physical matter. You know, so. You know, I would. That's why I added the.
Well, a lot of theists would disagree with you that you know, God can make things happen. You know, with a twitch of the nose or whatever.
Like Samantha.
Yeah.
I mean, but he would have to still interact with that. You know, our physical reality to do
right,
stuff like
right.
that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you're challenging our definition of God because it doesn't include gods that we
broad.
Can think of
yeah.
that pops in our, like, my God is a purple feathered dragon. It doesn't
yeah.
fit
yeah,
that
I mean,
definition. Someone, I mean,
how would you define a theist?
Yeah. A theist, someone that believes in any kind of God or God that exists anywhere.
Any kind?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, because you can be a theist, you can believe in a God that exists but doesn't have any impact on our universe.
Okay, so an atheist doesn't believe in all of those.
Okay.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that people can think up gods.
Yeah. I think we're going to move on to the next caller, but thank you so much. And hey, think about it. It sounds like you're kind of on the fence. If you want to try to come up with a new definition, or if you want to talk more, just call back, okay?
Okay, I just have one more question for Don.
Sure.
My question is, do you have a favorite beer?
Favorite beer?
Yeah.
I'm not a real beer drink, real big beer
shirt
drinker.
On.
Oh.
Oh.
Could it be my shirt? This is actually a shirt that was done by the ACA as kind of a parody on the Guinness label.
Yeah, Guinness label.
But it's actually for a godless pub crawl, and it's very clever design.
Okay. Yeah, we've got merchandise, y'all.
I'm a Heineken drinker myself.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling, Jason.
Thank you.
Bye.
I love softball questions.
Well,
oh, here we go. Uh-oh. Here we go.
Well, now that we've learned about what atheism is,
yeah, and we've defined it.
Let's move on to Dana. Oh no, she just actually went on the phone. I have somebody who has a question for me. John, you are on. It says you said that we have similar stories, but you're still a Christian.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I called a couple weeks ago as Gohan, and now I'm calling as John. So I wanted to let you know my name's not actually John.
Okay.
That's okay.
Do you want me to call you John, or do you want me to call you something else?
Whatever you guys feel like, as long as it's respectful. I just wanted to not use my name and
That's
not
fine.
Use the same name because I'm talking about a different topic.
So call you John or not John?
Sure. John, just
okay.
Make it easy.
All righty,
okay,
cool.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. But you're on with Don and Eric and me.
Hi, guys. So I just wanted to, I've heard your story for a while now, Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
First time I heard it, I was kind of shocked because it sounds so similar to mine. And I actually also wanted to say before I get into it, I called recovering from religion, I'd say about a month and a half ago. I just want to say the guy I spoke to was extremely nice.
That's good to hear.
Just for anyone else who... very helpful. I wasn't the right kind of caller for that. I was looking more for a discussion, and he was very nice about trying to point me where to go and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
RFR is not a forum for debates at all. It's for folks who are doubting or struggling.
Come call our show for that.
Yeah, that's where they were talking then or any of the.
But still, I've never heard anybody have a bad experience.
Yeah,
ever.
I'll tell you, John. The one thing that we do struggle with is we need volunteers. We are really, really low on volunteers. I'm really glad that someone was able to answer your call. Because of the lack of volunteers, we aren't always able to get to them. But the more people we can have help out, the more folks we can talk with. So,
yeah. And they can find the locations on the website so we can find out who can.
Yeah. It's all recoveringfromreligion.org/volunteer.
Awesome. I'm sure that'll pop up somewhere down there. Sorry, John, back to you.
From the discussion I had with a volunteer, it sounds like your guys' problem is more of quantity, not really quality, because that guy was really good.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much for that.
So, about probably 7-8 years ago now, my grandma died. And I was talking with my brother, I was finding out, like, slowly he didn't really believe. And I was still, like, a diehard Christian. And he was like, tell me why you believe and you can't use something other than faith. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't respond with, I just have faith. And I had no idea what to do. So, a little bit after that, he kind of suggested to me to go watch some, like, try to learn some stuff from the internet. So I went to go watch debates on YouTube, kind of like you, but I just kind of had the complete opposite experience. And
interesting.
That's kind of what I called in for with recovering from religion, because I'm not sure why I had an opposite experience. And I was looking at...
how do you mean opposite experience?
It seemed more to solidify my belief.
Okay.
And... from what the comments I read in YouTube, it kind of did that for everybody. Like, all the atheists seemed to be more convinced, and all the Christians seemed more convinced.
How many debates did you watch?
I watched a lot. So the first one I watched was Dr. Frank Turek against Christopher Hitchens, and there was two of those. And then slowly I went on to watch who's my favorite apologist is John Lennox. And he's done, sorry, I'm a little
John.
Nervous.
Okay. You took his name, John. That's amazing. Of course, I totally didn't even catch that.
Sorry.
It's okay. But,
it's great.
He went to go, he's done so many debates against, he's done two with Christopher Hitchens, two with Richard Dawkins, two with Peter Atkins, one with Peter Singer.
Okay.
So I've kind of started with that and eventually grown to listening to podcasts like Capturing Christianity and try to make sure I get as much as the opposite side as I can.
That's awesome that you're so open.
Yeah, we think that's very healthy.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I feel like I've given a lot of shout-outs to a lot of Christian ones, so I feel like I should do it the opposite with atheist nomads.
No, let's just move on. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically,
to promote Christianity.
It's not that. We just have a lot of other callers waiting on the line.
Right. Can you tell us why you believe in a God, or did you have something specific that you wanted to tell us that you've experienced? Or?
Yeah. So my main question was, I don't understand why we had like different results, but I'm fine going into why I believe. I would say before I started watching debates, it was just faith. After I started researching, I went to college for medicine. So after I did that and watching debates, I would say I'm a theist first because of science and reason, and then I'm a Christian because of history and personal experience.
Okay, but can you try to summarize like why you believe in a God? Because you're telling us
your history, right?
Yeah, we don't know how necessarily. Well, I guess we do kind of know how you got there, but when you're watching these debates, and you said it's solidifying.
What convinced you?
What is it about it that you're like, oh, that's enough evidence for me. That's enough proof. What is that?
I would say a lot more of when I first started. I would say a lot more physics really helped.
So you think that God can be proven using the laws of physics?
Maybe not proven. I would, as John Lennox says, the only thing that can be proven is math and reason. But I would say very strong evidence.
Why?
If I'm starting with physics, I would have to start obviously with the Big Bang. I've heard your guys' response to that. It just hasn't convinced me that
the Big Bang happened?
No. I've heard a couple of responses that the Big Bang, we don't technically know if that was the beginning, so we can't technically know if the universe ever began.
Well, also don't technically know anything.
Well, I would disagree with that.
So you find the first cause argument compelling is what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You want to take that?
Well, you know, we've talked about the cosmological argument to death.
And, right.
You know, we can poke holes in it, but I think that there is a desire to want to understand what happened there, right? Mm. And
right, I think on both sides, yes, sir.
So you know, we you know, it's a big event, and it's interesting, and it demands a lot of you know, it asks a lot of questions of us. It
right.
forces us to really take a look. I personally don't see any evidence of a god there.
So maybe I would say the evidence isn't exactly for a god, but I would say it's against the idea of naturalism.
But so I don't want to talk about what it's against. Like, we really want to know, what evidence do you have for any god? Like, why do you believe it? What makes you say, I know that there's a god out there?
First off, it's not no. I would say I'm more of like 80% sure.
Okay.
I'm not 100%.
Okay.
Now, I've watched a lot of Anthony Magnabosco's videos, so I'm trying to gauge what my confidence level is. I would say probably about 80%. I would say, and it's not one thing only, I would say it's a collection of things, but
right.
the biggest thing, earlier it was physics, now it's the laws of reason and consciousness that points me to God. That's the strongest one, but it's still, if I was to become an atheist tomorrow, the biggest thing you could do is tell me that the reason that I have reason is wrong. Like, take away consciousness, take away free will. Then if you can make me doubt my reasoning, that would make me that'll give me a big chance to be an atheist.
You know, it
sounds
God used in this context often is kind of a placeholder for, I don't know.
Yeah.
And, It begs a lot of questions of, where did this God come from? How did it? What powers does it have? What can it do? And there's just nothing to grab onto there.
You know, when
I would say that might be right until you get into history.
When I started looking into all this stuff, like you said that you kind of experienced somewhat yep. like my journey, and I just wanted to know all the answers to things, because I found out there's a lot of stuff that I'd never heard of before, and I just wanted to know the answers to things, very similar to you. So what had happened was, I was watching all these debates, and there are all these different arguments, and they're the same arguments over and over and over again. And they always come to this stopping point where it ends up saying, okay, now what? And then they say, and then God.
Right.
And we say, and then I don't know. And that's the difference, is every argument that I've ever heard for God has a stopping point where we say, I don't know.
Yeah, and I would disagree with that. And if you want a quick example, I could give one.
Sure.
Well, you've actually given two examples already. The first is we don't know what happened before the Big Bang. The second is, we don't know how consciousness arose. And I would strongly suspect that there might be a third, we don't know how life came mm-hmm. to be. And so for those were the three examples, or the two you gave, and I added one that I suspected. But you put in, therefore, God to explain those two things. And whereas Don, Jen, and I would say, we don't know yet, but I suspect that we will eventually know, and it will not be in
right.
God.
There's a lot of people studying to trying to find these answers to things right now, but we don't know yet.
So,
and they're not using prayer or the Bible.
Right.
No, it's not that we've done so much research, we don't have an answer, therefore God. It's that we have so much research, we have answers that point to God. Does that make sense?
I disagree. I mean, I don't. What is it?
Yeah. Right.
So hold on. So I've asked you like four different times now, what is your evidence? And we've gone into these little stories about some of your experiences, and it's really cool stuff. But this is the fourth time. I'm sorry. You've been really awesome, and I love how open you are. But I think that we're kind of done here because I don't think that you have it yet. But keep looking, and I love that you're still asking questions. You know,
yeah.
I think that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And our problem isn't with people like you. Our problem is with people who refuse to try to understand our side. So
and I would go with that also. Like, there's people on both sides who I've noticed, even on the Christian side and the atheist side, who do just kind of try to stick their feet in the ground and not try to change one way or the other. But,
right.
And I do have answers, but for some of the things you're asking, I haven't really gotten to them. I know this is a short show.
So
I understand that. I know you've asked a couple of times. It's just hard for me to.
No, it's okay. Stop. I understand. I was asked that question too, and I couldn't come up with an answer. And after being asked it enough times, which is different for everyone, I finally realized I don't think I'm going to get an answer. But that was me that had to discover that for myself.
Yeah.
I do have an answer.
Okay. We'll talk about that next time you call.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so much for calling, John.
Is there a limit for amount of times to call? I'm sorry, I don't know.
Oh, no.
Some people wear out their welcome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you start to, if you start calling every single week and we have this exact same conversation every week, well, then, I mean, obviously.
And if it gets tiring.
Yeah, but you're awesome. You go ahead and call back, and we'll help you through this journey and see where you actually end up.
And there's a Discord channel, right?
Okay.
There's a Discord channel we're actually going to stay on after the call, after the show. We started doing this lately where we stay on after the show and we answer questions personally over the air for Discord. So if you download the Discord app and try to get on our server, then we can continue the conversations. And there's a lot of people there that want to help.
Yeah, you may be able to continue this conversation, kind of suss things out on the Discord as well.
And Facebook.
Because I was going to ask you guys, how do I do the Discord? But now I know, so thank you.
Yeah, and then there's also, follow the Facebook group. There's several groups where there's people having these philosophical conversations. And
cool.
I think it's under Atheist Community of Austin.
Yes.
John,
while you guys are, I keep watching debates. Personally, mine is my favorite is John Lennox. Watch his debates. Keep watching Richard Dawkins. He's actually stopped for a little bit, but I'll keep watching the other debates as well.
All right. So thank you so much for calling, John.
Thanks, John.
Bye. Sorry.
We go to number five.
Number five. Oh, absolutely. Let's go to Anonymous in Virginia. It says that you live in a very religious part of the country and you're struggling to find yourself relating. What's going on?
Hi.
You're on with Jenna, Don, and Eric.
Hi. Let me just say I'm a big fan of Don and Jenna. Eric, I don't know much about you, but I'm sure you're a great person as well.
Awesome. What can we call you?
I'm sorry?
What can we call you? Do you have a letter or a number or a symbol I can call you by instead of anonymous?
Well, you can call me 42.
42.
Oh, that's wonderful.
All right.
That's great. You're getting applause from the audience. Yes. 42, thanks great, for calling.
Great. All right. So what's going on?
Well, I'm actually calling up because I'm not from the U.S. I just moved here like about 2 years ago and
like
many millions of people before me and just trying to build a life here, you know. And I think the biggest challenge for any immigrant to any country really is apart from leaving your relatives and your friends and everything, all that familiarity you had before.
Right.
Leaving that behind is just fitting in, really.
Absolutely.
So before this, I used to live in the Northeast, and it was kind of easy to like fit in a sense, I would say. Like, most people didn't care about you or didn't care about what you were, what you believed in, or who you were. And it was just, you just sort of exist, and it wasn't all that bad. But after I moved down here, it kind of like, I'm kind of worried about like people around me. Like, I've had a couple of bad experiences, and it just feels like maybe I'm not doing enough. Like, am I supposed to like improve myself? Am I at fault? Have I done something wrong? It's weird. Like, when you're a young person and you don't have your parents or anyone close to you like that near you.
Do you have any family kind of that struggle. Came with you?
No. I came here as a student.
Okay.
Kind of sounds like you're missing a community.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
It sounds like you're alone. Exactly. You feel alone.
Have you looked up on like online, like Meetup, or have you looked for any kind of groups of people that have similar interests as you?
Yeah, there is like this group nearby, and I've been meaning to drive down and meet them, but they're kind of far away. The thing is, the place that I live in is sort of a small town, and I wouldn't say remote, but it's kind of hard to get to more happening places, so to speak.
Are you out?
I'm just lacking. I'm sorry?
Are you out? I guess you're not if you're anonymous, right?
An out atheist. Or an out non-believer.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty vocal about my views. I mean, I'm not like, I mean, to whomever is asked, I've been honest about that.
Okay, I'm so sorry to interrupt. We have a long call. I just want to know, what are you looking for? What do you need from us?
Well, I was just specifically is wondering if I could get some advice or something from you guys of how to, like, I don't know, deal with like living in a society where it's a little more conservative and people might be a bit too annoyed by, you know, you being an atheist, and like, what do you do?
I think a lot of us struggle with that. You know, I think even here in Austin, which is a very liberal town, there's quite a high percentage of religious people, mm-hmm. and you can get into groups where you're a big minority without any trouble right. whatsoever.
You get a couple miles out of town, all of a sudden you're in the Bible Belt.
So,
my
concern yeah. for you is that you've got a lot going on in your head and you're not able to express it. You're not able to share it with like-minded folks. And that's driving you nuts. It's driving you nuts.
Yeah.
And I can totally relate to that. So the kind of the answer to your question is to find an outlet. Find the outlet that will help you get your head clear, get some community going, whether you have to drive that far or mm-hmm. if you can do it on the internet or, you know, dare I – plug Recovering From Religion again, sign up as a volunteer and talk mm-hmm. with those mm-hmm. and talk with the folks who are coming in struggling with doubts or coming out of religion, either on the phone, which might work really well for you over the phone, or online.
Or you could also use the Secular Therapy Project because that's extremely helpful. I've done it.
Yeah,
so.
And I have another suggestion.
I am doing the responsible thing in secret therapy, like in general, just, you know, it's tough. Being a young person in a foreign country and all that.
Yeah,
but I mean, I would recommend that to everyone who's listening in.
Nice.
If you need help, get it, right? I think the main hurdle for me is just, it's just a cultural difference, because where I'm from, like, people don't believe that you'll go to hell just because you don't believe in the right God. It's not something that you come across very often. I was just recently out at a pub with one of my friends, someone I considered a good friend. And then the topic of religion comes out, and a couple of beers down, he's like, well, guess what? I don't care what religion you know, I don't care if you're a good person. I don't care if your parents are good people and they at least pray to some God. They're going to hell too. And that really, like,
whoa.
I mean, that was pretty
weird.
Wow.
Whoa. Yeah.
You know, I would say that in your area, there are like-minded people. You just haven't found them. And one option that's available to you is to form your own group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our group here in Austin was started with an ad in the newspaper, and the modern version of that is to go to meetup.com
mm-hmm.
and just say, hey, we're going to do Skeptics in the Pub or whatever, you know, make it into a social thing, because that's mm-hmm. what people generally want.
Yeah.
And you will pretty soon have a group of friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Online helps a lot. The internet is amazing.
It feels a little odd to me. I'm sorry if I'm interrupting. It just feels a bit odd because I've never had to, like, I don't know, like the atheist label thing hasn't just been, it never has been a huge part of it. And now it feels like I'm going to have to keep that label, like, right on my forehead and go out there and find people who like me and just form a community. I mean, it never mattered before. It just feels very weird that I have to, you know, sort of like struggle in that sense of being an atheist and finding other people who just like me.
There are organizations like the ACLU and Americans United for the Separation of Church and State that are church-state separation organizations where you will find like-minded people that may or may not be atheists, but at least they'll appreciate, you know, the importance of keeping religion and government separate.
Yeah.
And that might be another option too, where you're not so focused on atheism, but maybe a cause that is important. Or teaching of science is another big one where we need some help.
Right.
You know, we need organizations and help for that.
Yeah, and there are other places in the United States, believe it or not, that aren't like the culture you're finding in Virginia. I moved from California to Springfield, Missouri, and it was a giant culture shock. The first question that I was asked when I would meet new people was, "Hey, what church do you go to?"
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it was a shock because in California they just didn't care as much as they do in southern Missouri, southwest Missouri.
But it sounds like you're really strong and you're pushing through and you're doing the right thing by reaching out to someone. So kudos to you.
Yeah.
Go ahead and just look everywhere you can. Talk to as many people as you can. And it sounds like you're out already. So just say, hey, I'm starting a group and I, you know, we need to get something going.
If there's nothing nearby, then start it up and put the effort into make your own.
So does that help answer your question?
It does, yeah. This is just like a parting comment. It's especially difficult because I haven't told my parents, and that's why I was staying anonymous. And I'm pretty sure they're not going to like disown me or anything, but it would just cause them a lot of distress.
You know what? You don't have to.
Yeah, I don't have to.
You don't have to. Unless it bothers you and you feel like you need to, you don't have to.
I would focus on your developing some friendships first.
Right. Get yourself healthy.
Have a support system. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you sound like someone who needs to be in front of face to face with a person, and online may not work as much with you. Is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, I'm pretty social I just like human contact.
And yeah.
I get invested in people too soon, and when I have nasty experiences like this where someone tells me that my parents are going to hell, it throws me off. Really affects me. I guess that's my weakness.
Well, that is rude.
You know, that just tells me that person is really afraid of going to hell.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know what?
Go on.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add? You.
I'd love to call up again and maybe have some, decent discussions about
Actually, I just got reminded by the crew. We have a Discord again. We have a server where you can go to many different chat rooms, voice rooms, all kinds of topics, all kinds of discussions, all kinds of different people, depending on the day. Go check that out, and that'll give you a lot of places to kind of vent and get your thoughts out.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay.
42, thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for calling us.
Thank you, everyone.
You have a great one. Thanks. I don't know how to say your name. Is it Bro? you are on now. Is it Bro?
Jenna, Eric, and Dawn. It's Bro.
Hey, Bro.
Awesome. Hey, Bro. hi, hey, how guys. Are you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you. So I'm from Canada, and I guess I'm not an atheist, I suppose.
Okay.
But you guys have, you probably heard Matt have a debate with Dr. Jordan Peterson, my homie.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that I've observed on your show that you put psychics down. You're like, psychic phenomena is nonsense, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't talk about the fact that science has actually studied psychics under laboratory conditions and found positive results. Your own American Association of Psychology.
Positive results of what? Positive results of what? I'm sorry. I'm going to ask questions because I'm trying to follow you and I don't want to get lost.
Well, there have been psychics in laboratory conditions with strict protocols to rule out any kind of cold reading or anything like this. And there have been positive results for psychics.
For what?
Okay, well, let's take, for example, the remote viewing experiments, which went on for 20 years.
You're not going to tell me, are you?
And had garnered $21 million from the United States government.
An experiment over and over and over again, eventually you might find an effect. Is it one of those sorts of things where, you do it and do it until you get some sort of significant result?
I don't know what result we're trying to get.
Well, honestly, if psychics were real, the James Randi challenge would have been collected by now.
Well, maybe. Right? Maybe it came after that. But I want to know what we're testing for. What are we looking for?
No, let's look at the James Randi challenge for a second.
Why don't you answer my question?
Back up and answer.
Okay, what's your question? I didn't hear it.
What are we looking for? What was the positive result?
Okay, well, in order to find out what we're looking for, we have to look at the claim. So if a psychic is able to see something that the rest of us can't see, let's say it's a dead person revealing information about their former life, or if it's a person who is coming to a psychic who has a life challenge, but they don't tell the psychic what it is, we have to prove that there's no way that the psychic could get that information from the sitter.
So how do we prove that?
We put them in a laboratory condition.
Okay, and so...
Or a laboratory.
So you're saying that because it can't... We don't know why they know this information, that means that what?
Well, no, that's the doorway. And then, because I'm a psychic, I'm trying to find out what's happening to me. So I've sat in laboratory conditions before, and I've had myself do what's called a triple blind experiment where I can't even see what the client, who the client is or what their concerns are. Only the scientists involved will be able to transmit the information that I get to the sitter. And then the sitter scores that information to the scientist. And then a year later, the scientist plays the recording back to the sitter.
The same scientist?
Scores it again.
The same scientist plays it back to the same recorder?
No, it's not the same scientist. That's the thing about triple blind experiments.
Yeah, I was clarifying that. I understand how triple blind works.
Okay. Yep. So, and
so
there
you're,
are
you're claiming to have psychic
areas.
Abilities?
I'm sorry, what's
you're
that?
You're claiming to have psychic abilities?
I claim to. Yeah, I've experienced it.
Well, he said that he did triple blind experiments to prove it.
Okay.
So what does that mean?
Are these published experiments?
Yeah, are these yes, can you do it at will?
Published.
Or is this just some one time thing?
And in fact, many Dr. Jessica Utz, who is one of the chief statisticians of the United States in a University of California.
And what was the control
reviewed.
That was used?
Well, I'm not one of the scientists. I'm one of the subjects.
Have you ever won the lottery?
Well, now that's ridiculous because here's why, and this is the James Randi thing. What if you ask a famous musician to play their most famous song in Howard Stern studio without their band or anything with them? I mean, what makes you think I can just win the lottery? What presumptions do you have about psychic ability?
Well, I don't know. If you claim to be able to see things and see the future and...
Yeah, but what does seeing things have to do with seeing the lottery? That's a totally different thing.
Okay, so Hold on. Let's say you're a psychic.
Let's say that.
Okay. What's your connection to God? Because this is the atheist experience. This isn't the psychic experience.
Or the skeptic experience.
Yeah.
No, but now I understand. Now, that's the thing. I don't have a connection to God as far as I know, but I'm saying that you guys have attacked psychics.
I'm
calling in with a complaint.
I've attacked psychics.
So the thing is that we haven't seen any published evidence that's been approved by, like, a lot more scientists.
Well, how much published evidence have you seen about anthropology reports from the rainforest? There are many things you haven't seen. It doesn't mean they don't exist.
No, I've seen quite a few. In fact, Monday I went up to the Perot Museum and saw quite a few studies the bones, the physical bones. I saw those with my own eyes at the Perot Museum just Monday. So, yeah, I've seen quite a few of those.
Yeah, but psychic stuff is boring, so nobody pays attention to it.
Are you kidding
actually,
me?
There's a lot of people that call themselves magicians.
Yeah.
Because they claim that they have psychic abilities, and they fool people. And Matt is actually a pro, and we are easily fooled. And so the thing is that I've learned how easy it is to trick myself. And so even if I were to see something that might convince me that you're a psychic, I understand that really doesn't go with the laws of physics. It really doesn't go with anything that we've ever seen published or approved or anything. And so I'm going to say, you know what? I was probably wrong.
So okay, so you claim to be a hold up.
Gravity wave.
What's his name, bro?
Bro.
Okay, yeah. Here. What do you need to do? Sign up for James Randi $1 million challenge.
It's not there anymore.
No.
I want the $1 million.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah, they started.
Where have I been?
I don't know.
Put it back, so because people were complaining.
Maybe. I haven't heard that. I don't know.
Does the Australian skeptics have a psychic challenge?
If anybody knows about any psychic challenges current, please let us know and put it in the comments or somewhere.
Honestly, there.
I mean, I'm sorry. I don't believe you, and I don't have any evidence to believe in psychics. I mean, to me, it's all the same. It's in the same category as, you know, karma and rock energy and
paranormal stuff,
witches, aliens, you know, all that stuff. Like, we just...
No,
it isn't
in those categories because this can be evidential. What I do is evidential because you can put me in a laboratory condition and prove it. And, in fact...
So then can you bring us the results?
Yeah, email the results.
Yes. Well, I would love to come up with an experiment with you guys.
Okay.
That
depends.
We're not equipped for that sort of thing. I mean, James Randi's organizations.
Not equipped, but James Randi, who is a Toronto magician who didn't graduate from high school, who his husband, by the way, was an immigrant who...
Oh, my God. Oh, that's so irrelevant. It's not... You know
so
what?
Irrelevant.
Dude.
Oh,
okay, so
yes.
I was saying
that's
that
hang up number two.
The PSYCOP organization is it has people who are well-equipped for this sort of thing, and we're not.
Yeah.
We're more about theism and atheism here.
Yeah, true. Okay. Well said. Thank you, Don. I actually am curious about Dana. It says that the definition of not who... but what God is.
Okay.
Whoa.
Dana,
what's up,
you're on.
Dana? You're on with Jenna, Don, and Eric. How's it going?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Did you hear me?
How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dana. What you got?
Well, one of the biggest things I see a lot of times is the reason a lot of people have a hard time discussing God and the existence of God is because they always want to argue about who he is. But you can never prove God exists by who he is. Anybody can be love. Anybody can be this or that. And I always forget about the fear of God as well. Hmm. But the problem is what is God?
Why does it matter?
Well, why does it matter?
Mm-hmm. Why does it matter if it's a who or if it's a what?
Well, how can you prove what exists if you or who exists if you can't prove what exists?
What?
Okay, well, why don't you expand a little bit?
Follow me here.
I'm trying to, really.
Follow me here. Okay, the scriptures in the Bible in Job 21:15.
Okay.
Hold on. No, we're not talking about the Bible.
Well, that's who, but the Bible is the final authority.
No, it's not.
You know what? There are so many AXP episodes on the legitimacy of the Bible. If that's what you want to talk about, and if that is your... Hold on, I'm not done talking, Dana. If that is your best evidence for God, then we're going to move on.
Yeah, we're not big believers in the Bible.
My evidence is not God.
No. Yeah, we don't care. Okay, we don't want to use the Bible as evidence.
The Bible's a genocide manual.
What are you saying? Why does it matter if it's a who or if it's a what?
Give me a chance here.
Please.
Okay. Don't be going off on quotes. Just tell us, paraphrase.
Let's talk in normal language, like people, like me to you.
Do you believe what you say? Do you believe what you say is true?
It depends on what I'm saying.
I try.
But yes.
So you don't believe in the words that you're saying?
Well, I could be wrong about things.
I could be lying. I could be making up a fictional story. So if I were to make up a fictional story.
But that's what the Bible says. If the word is God.
I don't care about the Bible.
We have the word.
No, like I literally don't care about the Bible. Dana, we already talked about this. We're not talking about the Bible.
Okay, well, then you don't have the word of truth.
Is that the only evidence that you have for God?
That is what God is.
Is that the only evidence that you have for God?
Your words are your God.
What?
Whoa.
Your words, what you believe in, that is your God.
And what does that have? Whoa. Why? Why aren't my words just my words?
Because the word is what you believe.
I don't believe in a God, but I believe...
This all seems very muddy.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, thanks, Dana.
That you believe,
try again. Or not. You know what? Don't.
I mean, if I were to... Do I believe the words that I say? If I were to make a story, write a fictional story, that, like we were talking about the Man in the High Castle,
yeah.
I wouldn't believe a single bit of it.
Right.
The Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien, did not believe that these things actually existed.
But I believe that it actually exists as a fictional story, so it's just all semantics, you know? It doesn't...
That's true, yeah. Okay, so I can believe God is a fictional being?
I'm skeptical about this next call. The notes say atheism made me racist.
Uh-oh.
Oh, and he's from Earth.
So I'm going to put it on.
Okay.
Smokey, you are on air with Jenna, Don, and Eric. What's going on? What's going on?
Wow. I'm like so thrilled to be through. First off, Jenna, I got to say, I love how you read the thing. Like the disclaimer was implied. I love that.
Awesome. Thanks.
Jenna and Don, you guys are awesome. Eric,
yeah, he is.
I've not seen you, but I've been enjoying this call.
Eric is a special guest today.
Awesome.
I'm not that awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Very rare that I get to see three people and Jenna in the big chair. Like this is like, I'm stoked right now.
She's doing so good.
Thank you so much. What's going on today?
Okay. So, yeah, the tagline was kind of clickbaity, but
just a little bit.
Yeah, I get that.
You made her click.
Yeah, but it's accurate, and I felt that it was you know how people say it's a calling or it's ordained or some other mess like that, right?
Okay.
Uh, for an act that they do, I felt compelled to call in and say some things, right?
The devil made me do it.
Yeah. In a manner of speaking.
So the shifting of responsibility is what you're talking about.
No, not necessarily. Yes and no, both of those.
Okay.
Things.
Okay.
The shifting of and then the accepting of. So I know that the atheist position is that there is no concrete confirm or deny that there is a God. It's
correct.
Like no evidence. You got to show me something before I say yay or nay.
Mm-hmm.
You guys would agree with that more or less?
We know of no evidence for a God, and so we are disbelieving in that sense.
No
serious evidence. How about that?
Well, yeah, I'm with that, I would concede with that, and that's how I feel. But what I think is a different matter. Mm. I would kind of go off the rails a little bit and say that I'm one of those like I'm a step beyond just saying, oh yeah, I don't believe. I'm saying like based on what I've like studied about history, I would assert that the Abrahamic Judeo-Christian God is absolutely fake, without mm-hmm. a doubt. Like,
can you prove that?
Absolutely. Can any of you guys tell me what year it is?
Yes.
Depends on which calendar we're talking about.
That's the answer. I can't see you guys, so I don't know who said that one. But
Eric
but yeah,
did.
That's the answer.
No.
Yeah. Okay, Eric. Yeah. Eric.
You know,
love you already.
Measurement is arbitrary, right? Based on some fixed point.
But I can give you an answer. Well, I don't know where you're going with this.
Let's. We got a lot of other folks on the line. Let's.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. Jenna, where am I going with this, more or less?
Holy
yeah.
Smokey, are we?
Okay.
You tell
okay,
us, please.
yeah, because it's like a really dense subject. I would like to. I believe that.
Well, hold on. If you have a really dense subject and you just really need to talk some stuff out, then maybe call Recovering from Religion or
hop on the Discord.
But if you have something like specific
I'll make it relatively quick.
Okay.
It'll divert a little bit, but I need. I'll try to make it as quick as can. But you know,
sure thing.
I think Christianity specifically promotes misogyny and white supremacy, man. And
but does that mean that there's no God?
Yeah, I mean we don't like Christianity either, and certainly I've done a lot of shows, you know, knocking Christianity off its pedestal, but I don't believe I can prove that the Christian God doesn't exist,
right?
Because it's hard to prove a universal negative. I mean, there could be a God under a rock on the other side of the universe, and I'd never know it. And I'd never be able to disprove it.
Did you say he was trying to prove God?
He said he can.
He can prove God.
But like I can't prove that Santa Claus doesn't exist.
Right.
Well, see, I would look at it like this. If you create something, let's say whatever, if there's a thing that is created, and that word created is important, mm-hmm. I would think that it remains necessary so long as the inspiration for whatever created it remains. So
okay.
Like an example, if it's raining and I don't want to get wet and I make an umbrella, I'm going to need that umbrella for as long as it's likely to rain. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So
an umbrella, not the.
But what? I'm trying to follow you. Keep going.
Okay. So to keep going, biologically, you know, with evolution making sense, because things do change over time. We can look at that in our daily lives and see this one thing started as this, and as it became as certain needs for that thing to become better. Came along then it was made better by its surroundings or however.
Okay.
But evolution has a very specific meaning with regard to life, but you can, you know, use analogies for things that people make. And you have to be careful there because you're dealing with an analogy and not everything transfers over exactly.
And evolution is not making things better. It has no
right.
end goal.
Well, no, I understand science enough to get that. Okay. It's not, I'm not saying that it's like a top down, I'm tinkering with this to improve it, but it's more like this, you know, this random change. Oh yeah, that works. I'm gonna keep it. Oh, this change. Oh yeah, I'll keep it. That's just more just like me building a case. Like I said, I'm trying to make it quick. So with religion, I think that, and I looked up the definition because I think a lot of people spend a lot of time arguing definitions mm-hmm. when it's really not that deep. So right. I looked up, anytime I'm like interested in a word, I look it up. So I looked up the word religion, and the etymology, I think it came from like Italian or Latin or something. Mm-hmm. Religare, to bind. And you can interpret that a couple of different ways. The more sinister way kind of fits the reason why I called, so, you know, kind of lean that way. But to bind, you can say it was to bind or to hold back. So either to control or, you know, which is the more sinister, or to group. So it's a grouping or a method of controlling people, right? Because in the environment from which the, you know, the proto-Jews or whatever you want to call it, the people that became the people that wrote the Bible. Mm-hmm. Like it was rough back in those days. So you have to have something, some type of hope to look forward.
But that's the thing is, yeah, like they could have created this story for survival, for evolutionary purposes, because maybe giving us something to believe in and hold on to, maybe that got us where we are today. But maybe we've evolved enough where we don't need that anymore. And maybe we're wrong. Damn. You know, that's the thing is yeah. we don't know. But ultimately, we can't say that because there's stories created today and that we can't prove these stories wrong. We also can't prove them just because they're older. You know, like we can't prove that the Bible wasn't written by God. We just can say that, hey, I have paper, I have books, I have people that write books. This is much more likely that people wrote it. But I can't say for sure. I can't say that I know that Peter Pan wasn't based on a true story. I can just say that based off of what I've seen and what I know, I don't believe it.
Well, we can make stronger statements. I mean, we have no evidence of the supernatural, which a lot of the biblical claims are supernatural in nature, right?
Right. I guess that's what I'm trying to say when I say that that all I have is paper and books. Like that, yep. All I have is what's tangible, what I can experience, what I can prove.
And honestly, I wouldn't even want to make the claim that there is no God, because the folks who are claiming there is a God, they're the ones who need to back up and bring the proof to the table.
Exactly. The like Matt would say, you're putting the burden of proof on you.
Right. And so it's a line of argumentation, or it's a line of that really bears no fruit or has no interest in me really at all.
Right.
Something I wouldn't really want to pursue personally as proving there is no God.
Well, I believe that, and I'm glad you guys said that, because that kind of helps me. Well, obviously not tie it all together on one call, because like I said, it is a pretty dense subject. But on that end, I was only referring to the Abrahamic God. God, quotation marks,
sure. right,
exists. You know what I mean? Like so, the first God.
There's a lot of variation there, right?
But, yeah. I'm curious. Did atheism actually make you racist?
Yeah, I want to know that. Answer that question.
Yeah, like I said, well, that's why I asked you guys what year is it? Like these. Okay, so the modern year and like the
2019.
Right. Well, yeah. The most current calendar that we've adopted. You know, the mandation of Christianity throughout Europe, and that being spread by force for what?
Are you suggesting our calendar is racist?
No. Okay. I'm saying that the calendar is based upon a religion. It's based on religious texts.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm curious why you're racist.
That's right. I'm getting. I'm
sorry. Okay, I'll let you go. Go ahead.
And the next thing I say.
Sorry, go ahead.
right.
You got to come through that clickbait, right, man.
Oh, yeah, I got you. I swear, yeah. I swear on everything. I got you, guys. Yeah, so everything that we base our modern everything upon is based upon an arbitrary thing that was that has been proven by history, and it's not like a secret knowledge anymore. It's very common knowledge that that's not even one of the oldest traditions. There are civilizations that
absolutely.
Were older than the Jews by, you know, tens of thousands of years.
Sure, mm-hmm.
There are structures in
Let's get to the racism.
We're
smoking here.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, but a lot of your general audience may or may not notice that.
Yeah, but okay.
And hence the name. Yeah, the name fits. But just knowing all of that and being Black in America and understanding that history and that much of the history of the world, but America, Africa and Black people and the people that were taken over here. And when you talk about people who have faith, African American people are like one of the most, you know what I mean? Like if you've ever heard like the memes, like, or any jokes like that, when they say Black church lasts all day, that's only partially joking.
Like, I've heard a lot of African Americans say that it's as if they adopted the religion of the slave owners, and are still slaves.
Slaves to that religion.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They might have been It might have been forced down their throats that this is the only way.
That was true.
Because that's a good way to get control over them is to teach them obedience and enforce all that.
But we've had Mandisa Thomas on our show a number of times, mm-hmm. and she's talked about those sorts of topics.
The Black non-believers.
Right.
So, but are you actually racist? Like, I understand that America was built on some bullshit, but are you, like, do you actually not like people of, I mean, are you racist?
Well, I was going to say, like, I'm glad you said the America on some BS thing,
because
that's literally only the tippy top of the iceberg.
I completely agree.
You know, but I don't hate anybody based upon, you know, factors about themselves that they can't change, but... when all of us think of Jesus, more likely than not, we picture a bearded white man with long hair and
blue eyes and blonde hair.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So I can understand if you resent the history of white culture. But when you go out to the grocery store, are you making judgments that, hey, that person's white in the checkout line, so I'm going to go to this other counter? Like, do you see what I'm saying?
I think it's more subtle than prejudice, right? It's more subtle than just prejudices or, you know, those guys are bad, stay away from them.
Okay, so how do you define racist?
How do I define racist? I looked it up in the dictionary. That's a thing.
Good for you.
A lot of us don't read nowadays.
I agree.
Like, that's not condescending or anything.
No, I agree.
Just a statement. Dang, I almost lost my point.
Sorry.
It's like a very subtle psychological thing. Like, I'll put it to you this way. Say that somebody comes up, say somebody wearing the hat, a certain hat, just picture a hat, doesn't matter, comes up and punches you in the face as hard as they can for no reason at all, right?
Say it's a MAGA hat.
I wasn't exactly leaning that way. But
I'm just putting a hat to the hypothetical.
But is that your point, though, that...
I got one more thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So a guy wearing a hat comes up and punches you as hard as he can for no reason at all. You did nothing to him, said nothing to him, didn't look his way, right? Then, you know, somebody, then from that point on, right, when you're out, you see people that look like that guy wearing that hat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be wrong to assume that everyone is that guy, right?
Right.
But if you meet that guy wearing that hat, you know, how would you know if he is or not, I think I see your point. Same guy.
To be fair, it's healthy to be aware that there are different cultures and there are different things to be aware of when you go to a neighborhood that's full of, you know, one culture. But that's instinctual. That's natural to have a bad experience and then try, you know, psychologically to understand, well, what was it about that experience that caused it to happen and to have trauma from it, you know, reactions from it. Right?
Yeah. And being angry is a totally valid. Being right. angry that that person in the hat hit you
right.
Is totally 100% valid. Now, how you deal with the anger and how it can manifest is definitely.
But getting back to the religion, yeah. you know, I think that religion favors certain people, and those people in turn use that religion to stay in power and to entrench their beliefs and their culture, and you know, railroad other people. And if you're outside of that, like the African American community or the atheists, you get trampled on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so do you right. think that if you were to get punched in the face absolutely randomly, that it would automatically have something to do with someone's religion or race, or do you just say I don't know what happened?
Well, I'm from the hood, and we don't get sucker punched. I'm just saying.
Okay. Good. Sorry, go ahead.
Let's try to put a bow on this and so we can move on.
Yeah, I got you in my next statement. I was going to say where that ties into it is, I don't hate anybody or anything like that or feel anything like that, but it's hard to live, like, because I've lived and I've had, you know, I've had plenty of white friends and white people to show me kindness. So I'm like, that's, you know, any differences among us are bogus on that level.
Agreed.
But I think that faith has been used to keep us apart, and we're supposed to be together. There's not supposed to be a division between people on that line. Like, agreed. We've outgrown the need for religion in that sense.
Yeah, right? That's why we have this show.
But, yeah.
That's why we're here.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
we're trying to build new communities, yeah. you know, based on skepticism and you know, the truth, and working together to make the world a better place.
So, Smokey, right.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm like, I absolutely want to live in a world where we can tell the truth about things, because I'm if this was a different type of show, like, we could, like, scare each other with things yeah. that actually happened
yeah.
in history, like, because of somebody's faith. I've seen. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you ought to maybe reach out to a local community, because it sounds like that what you need is sort of to hash some of this stuff out.
So it sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, if I might sum this up, you've come out of religion and you've looked around, and now you're coming to grips with your feelings that you have towards folks of a different race. Is that kind of what I'm hearing you say? Like, that you're wondering why you have these, or you're wondering how to deal with these feelings, or am I totally way out of left field?
No, I'm thinking he's saying the black community has been sucker punched by the
yeah,
religion.
And he's absolutely right.
No, I'm like, that's like the symptom of the okay. disease. I'm saying, and I know I'm going to sound crazy to some people right now, what I'm going to say, I'm saying that there is a true conspiracy, man. Out there.
That's a conversation that's a long conversation. Yeah.
You should come and join us for dinner.
Yeah, you should call back. And you know what? We have other shows. We've got Truth Wanted on Fridays. We've got Talk Heathen before this one. We've got Secular Sexuality on Thursday. So if you have questions, feel free to call this show, call other shows. But we're going to move on.
Can I say one more thing? And I want to say one more thing.
If it's quick.
I just want, when I say conspiracy, I just want people to, when I say that, I want people to think. When you hear the word conspiracy, like, think.
Cool.
Or anything. Think, what is this what could this person possibly want?
All right, you planted a seed, Smokey. Thank you.
That's all I was trying to do. Thank okay. you.
Thanks, all right, Smokey. Bye. All right. So we've got 15 minutes. We got three callers. Let's see if we can get to all of them. Let's go with Zach in New England. It says that you're not a churchgoer, but you have faith and you've had personal experiences with God. Do you want to go with personal experiences, or do you want to go with kind of your agnosticism and what you're going through? Hi, Zach. You're on with Jenna, Dawn, and Eric.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We can hear you, Zach.
Oh, crap. You took my call.
We can move on if you want.
No. It's just
kidding.
No, like, I've talked about this stuff with people before, but it's always face to face. It's not like this.
Yeah. Well, so then take your time. There's no pressure. What's going on?
Well, don't take your time.
Well, take a deep breath. And this is just hard stuff to talk about. Okay, so I just want to be patient, as patient as I can.
Sure. It's not too hard for me.
Okay, well, that's good.
Just this weird. So I don't know if I'd consider myself agnostic so much, but definitely like a product of our culture, as I was someone who like doubted the existence of God, you know, would at some point might have even considered myself atheist. However, at that point, I had already gone through the first experience I'm going to talk to you about.
Go ahead.
All right. So when I was younger, you know, like we grew up rough, times are tough. We were, you know, like we had to find a place to live, that sort of thing. And I was really afraid. And, you know, I believed I saw a sign from God. And, you know, like I lured my mother out. You know, you got to take into consideration there's a little bit of time that goes over. It's a day or two. I can't remember exactly. And like I lured my mother out and I, you know, I kind of, as like kids pointed out, like, oh, look. And she's like, oh, what do you see? And I'm like, well, you know, I think that's that. This is that. I think, you know, like, I think you're going to meet someone. You should go move back to this place where like, you know, like my hometown, right?
Okay.
And, I'm skipping over parts. I am nervous. Anyway, my mother was like, oh, I don't think we can do that, this and that. And, what it did is it at least allowed, it at least put into her mind to search for, like an apartment or something in that town. And she found something she thought we could afford maybe. And she went and, you know, like scheduled an appointment, went and met with the landlord. And the person that showed her the apartment, they've been together for 28 years. And that particular, that thing like really changed the course of all of our lives.
So your mother ended up marrying the landlord? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. Well, when you say it like that, it's like, maybe.
Well, but that's the point, though, is are you saying that because your mother married the landlord? Hold on. Are you saying that because your mother married the landlord, that that's what convinced you that there's a God and that's what solidified your faith?
No, not exactly. I'm not saying that at all.
Okay, we're missing
it. I forgot about that for nearly 20 years.
So then what's your evidence? What's your reasoning for believing in God? If that's not it, we don't need to talk about that.
No. Like, I look back on that, and that was an enormous, like a pivotal fulcrum of...
I've had a bunch of those in my life, too, but I don't believe in God.
But why do you attribute that to any gods at all? Why don't you just say, hey, that was a really cool thing that happened, and it was monumental for me?
I won the lottery.
I guess for me, it's because of my perception of the situation.
What if you're wrong?
What if I am wrong? You're right. What if it's a completely self-deluded self-deception, and it's a whole just series of coincidences?
What would that mean for you if that was true? Seriously, think about it. If that was true, if you were wrong because of your perception... I mean, I think you agree perceptions can be wrong, right?
Sure.
Let's say if you are wrong, what would that mean for you? What would that mean?
Not something I've even considered to contemplate.
That's why I'm asking you to consider it now.
I am considering it.
Cool.
Hey.
What if I am wrong? Actually, you know what? That's not true. I have thought about that a tiny bit.
What'd you come up with?
Well, perhaps it's not my... What is that? Perhaps it's not what I consider to be like a sentient creator that put everything together.
Wait, so you're saying that because you possibly could be wrong, then we're just going to change the definition of God?
I didn't say that at all. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to share some experience with you.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I'm being a little bit blunt because we do have a short show. But the fact is that I'm saying these things a little bit bluntly because sometimes they hit a little hard. Like, wait a second, I've never thought of it like that. And so when I say things like, you know, what would that mean? And it makes you start thinking, well, what would it mean? And then you start talking about, you know, what... I just lost my train of thought. Hold on.
Let me take over here.
Okay.
What if I'm right? Which is scarier, that I'm wrong or that I'm right?
But that's the thing is, if you are right, then there's other things. Let's say that your God exists. Let's go with that, okay? Mm-hmm. If that God exists and we have actual evidence for it, which I don't believe we do, but if it did, would that mean anything? I mean, let's say it existed. Why should I follow it? Why should I learn from it? Why should I believe that it's good?
Not at all.
Oh, you don't believe that?
Okay, so I've done a whole bunch of research to do, like, figure out some stuff, that, yada, 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 yada. I was doing research in the past couple of days, and I'm just like, I'm so fucking sick of it. I'm sorry, can I curse or not? I don't
know. Yes, yep. You're good.
You're welcome to curse.
Okay, all right. If I go overbound, please let me know. I'm just so fucking sick of it. I'm like, no wonder there is something called the atheist experience where people are like, you know what? We just want to live our lives, be good people, you know, have a social group, follow yeah. laws, and just not have to deal with this stuff.
Amen, brother.
When you start to go back and back and back, you're like, what the fuck? Okay?
See, my sentiment
is mind-blowing. It really is.
Oh, it is. 325 AD. Like, here's another thing is, like, I was so excited to go to church when we moved to that new town. And then I went down to church and I was like, you know, I was like running in like, yay, I can't wait to celebrate God. And I just, you know, like eventually it was just like, these people aren't here to celebrate God.
Wait, I'm confused. It sounded for a second there like you don't believe, but now it sounds like you believe again. So I'm just kind of confused if.
Okay. All right. Let me make this delineation. All right. There is a difference between religion, faith, we'll use those interchangeably, and church. Church is an organization of
people. Oh, yeah.
People. Oh, you're talking about religion and belief, religion, right?
I think you'll find no argument here.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we can kind of separate the two and focus on, you know, what do you believe and why? And that I think that makes for good conversation.
Yeah, certainly. Like, I look back on
it's,
that
it's easy to find like, gripes about the church.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of those.
Yeah, church. All of them, yeah.
We agree that they're separate, but the religion thing, we're seeing evidence that it's kind of evolved from the human mind, and we've created it and adjusted it and modified it here and there. But when it comes down to, like you said, the separate thing, the God belief, the supernatural stuff, that's what we're saying. We have literally no evidence. And so there's a lot of people with perceptions, and there's a lot of people who think that they've seen it or experienced it or talked to it or whatever. But when we come down to it, just like you said you've noticed, we don't have it.
Well, there's just like for... It's been going on for 2,000 years, right?
Well, I mean, no, longer than that.
I apologize.
Christianity, certainly, but
exactly. We've had
Judaism is much older.
I mean, it could have gone back before humans. I mean, not really, but anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, I have my theories on that, and there is like trails and breadcrumbs of evidence, and we have some archaeological evidence today, but I haven't I know. I'm jumping around.
Define your God with us. Tell us who your God is.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Why? Okay. So hold on. Why?
Yeah. Why does there have to be one?
Why? What is there to figure out? Why do you need to figure anything? What if there's nothing to figure out?
What would the world look like if there was no God? What would it look like? Would anything change? Would anything really change?
What if it looked like this?
What if we were created except not by God?
I think we've made enough progress here, but you know what?
We're talking about Prometheus, the movie now.
Sure. Do you guys think about this one, right? Our evidence.
We got four minutes left. We got two callers, so I gotta close some stuff out. But you know what? Thank you, Zach, for calling. Make sure you hit up the Discord. Make sure you're talking to people, because it sounds like you're asking a lot of questions, and that's awesome. That's all that we really ask.
Reach out to recoveringfromreligion.org, and some of the folks there will be able to help settle. Or
I have. I have something. I don't know if you guys want me to call back another time.
We're kind of running short today.
Oh, that's too bad. I should have called earlier. This will blow your mind because it blew mine.
Well, save it.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Zach. Have a great night.
Keep looking.
So we do have two more callers. They're both the same thing, basically, about how they're struggling. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm not sure. Stay on. I'll try to get to you after the Discord, but if you like. Basically, it's about struggling coming out of religion. It all boils down to reach out to somebody. We have Recovering from Religion.
Don't keep it in your head and find a safe place to do that. And that's why Recovering from Religion was created and built to fill that need, to create the space, the safe space for folks to go and get out what's in their head, express their doubts, express their concerns.
Absolutely. So we've got dinner here. Here's a plug for Recovering from Religion. Mm-hmm. We've got dinner here tonight. I'm not sure what it is.
We have our awesome crew that's helping out behind the scenes. Thank you.
Got amazing crew back there.
The Lord of Lovers. There he is.
Could not do this without them.
And we're going to head over to the Discord server, so hang tight. And thank y'all so much. Y'all have a wonderful...
Sorry we didn't get to the last couple calls.
Yeah, thank y'all.
Thank you, guys.